Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All right, first things first, off the top, though, it's a busy Friday, and I do have some breaking news. And the breaking news is out of New York. Alvy? Breaking news out of New York, and it is related to the New York Jets. Head coach, Adam Gase, still has his job. Yeah, that's not the breaking news. The breaking news is that he has not done a good job developing Sam Darnold. Why don't we go to Gase himself for a comment on the issue?
You know, I came here to help him develop his career, and, you know, we haven't been able to do that.
Wait, what? Can I have that one more time, Alvy, please?
You know, I came here to help him develop his career, and, you know, we haven't been able to do that.
Damn, mind blown, right? Dude just went there. Dude just all up in here admitting on record that he has done nothing to help or develop Sam Darnold. I mean, holy crap. Let me pick my damn jaw right up off the ground. Crazy eyes, the alleged offensive genius, just did the damn thing by owning that he hasn't done a damn thing for Sam Darnold. Insane. Are you kidding me with that? Wait, there's even more.
You know, we need to do things well, you know, around him. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's on me to get him to play better than what he's played. And, you know, right so far, I haven't done a good enough job.
I haven't done a good enough job. First of all, you know how you know you can't trust this guy? Because he's an adult and a leader who can't utter a sentence without saying, you know.
You know.
You know?
You know.
How many you knows were there in that five-sentence answer, you know?
You know.
Holy bleep. Gase hasn't done a good job. Did he really just say that? Adam Gase just copped to doing nothing to develop Sam Darnold and that he's not good at his job. That is stunning, you know? What's next, you know? Adam Gase is not a brilliant offensive mind?
You know.
That the Jets are not a good football team?
You know.
That Gase isn't the most overhyped, overrated coach not named Jim Harbaugh ever?
You know.
Adam Gase saying that he has failed at developing Sam Darnold would be like me announcing that the sun is going to set tonight, you know, or acknowledge that it's going to rise tomorrow morning.
You know.
Hey, this just in. Hey, Alvy, hit me with the breaking news sounder once again, if you don't mind. Yeah, thank you. This news just in. Breaking news. Jim Rome admits that there are 7 days in a week. And that Gase has crazy eyes.
You know.
Man, somebody's got to warn me before a statement like that comes from Adam Gase. Because I'm not sure I can handle him dropping these truth bombs. I mean, seriously, of all dudes, I can't believe this guy went there. Not because it's not true, but because it's extremely true. And this dude's not about that life. The telling the truth life. Remember when he was asked a very simple question recently about who is or is not calling the plays, and he lied right out his ass, allegedly?
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
That ball do lie. That's an NFL head coach. Way to handle that. Like a four-year-old caught in a lie and trying to dig his way out only to make it so much worse. And you know how it is, right, with people who don't tell the truth? You wonder how many other lies that they've told you and whether or not you can ever trust them to ever tell the truth. Because that's pretty much the Gase brand. Make extremely weird faces and then even weirder statements and mix in a bunch of you knows.
You know.
and then don't own any of it at all. Of course he hasn't done a damn thing to develop Sam Darnold. You know, the very thing that he was hired to do. Let's be really clear about this. Developing Sam Darnold was not part of why he was hired. It was the only reason he was hired. It was the only thing that he was there to do. Because the quarterback is the most important position, and you have to have a quarterback. And when you have a future franchise quarterback, you have to develop him. That's why they went with Crazy Eyes in the first place. That's why they hired him instead of a defensive-minded coach. Because more than anything, because more important than anything was developing your franchise quarterback. Remember the Jets fired Todd Bowles and they hired Adam Gase. And they hired him despite the fact that the Dolphins had just fired him. They hired him right after he had back-to-back losing seasons in Miami. And they did it because, well, they did it because they're the Jets. But they said they did it because they believed that he was a quarterback whisperer, that he could develop Sam Darnold, and he hasn't. In fact, Gase has been a complete and utter disaster. Like, this guy could not have done a worse job. And that's not even an exaggeration. It's a statement of fact. If Adam Gase was hired to sabotage Sam Darnold's career, I'm pretty sure it would look exactly the way that Sam's career looks right now. Darnold is 0-7 this season. He's got the lowest passer rating in the league. He hasn't thrown a TD pass in four games. He's led only six touchdown drives all season long. Not only has Gase not developed Darnold, it's a testament to Darnold that he has not completely destroyed him. Check out Sam's response when asked about Gase's comments.
You know, first of all, I take full responsibility for the way I've played. I just haven't played well enough. And again, like I continue to say every single week, we have great people in this organization. And so with that being said, everyone's going to, take blame for certain parts of, us not winning games. And so, but again, for me personally, I got to play better and put the team in the right positions to be able to win games and, make it close at the end.
Not only has he ruined him as a quarterback, he's wrecked his ability to speak. He's got him you-knowing. It's contagious. Yeah, but you know what, though? Here's the thing, Other than the you-knows, nothing but respect. How is Darnold 10 times more mature and 10 times the leader that Gase is? Because it has to be so tempting to say, finally, that hack and that fraud admitted it. I've been trying to tell you all for years that this guy's ruining everything he touches. But instead, Sam took the high road. He took full responsibility for how he's played. He put it all on his own shoulders. That's really impressive, especially when you're playing for a guy who can't even acknowledge who is and is not calling the plays. Let's go back a little bit. The final four games of Sam Darnold's rookie season, the final four games before Gase arrived, Darnold threw for nearly 1,000 yards, six TDs, one interception, and had a passer rating of over 99. Not bad for a rookie on a losing team, especially for a rookie playing for the Jets. Not bad at all. But it's gotten worse in every single way since Gase arrived. Not only has he not developed Darnold, he's made him so much worse. So much worse that the offense actually runs better under Joe Flacco, Instead of developing Darnold and starting the Sam Darnold era in New York, he destroyed Sam Darnold and launched the Trevor Lawrence era in New York. Take a bow, Gase. That's pretty damn impressive. Adam Gase has been so bad as the Jets head coach, the only reason he's still the Jets head coach is they're worried that they might actually win a game if they fire him. Job security through sucking is a remarkable thing. You're right, dude. You haven't done a damn thing to develop Sam Darnold, and you may have even wrecked him. And you haven't done a good job. In fact, you've done one of the worst jobs ever. Now finish what you started, run this thing backwards so the guy who does replace you gets a chance to work with Trevor Lawrence. If, in fact, Lawrence goes anywhere near that dumpster fire that is the Jets,
I think we'd all agree this has been some crazy, crazy year with a whole lot of stress. And the stress of daily life weighs on every last one of us. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do, whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular person trying to get through the day, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing. I'm no different. This is why I use Theragun. What an amazing product. It's a handheld percussive therapy device which releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And right now, it does all that, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. That's because the all-new Gen 4 Theragun has a proprietary brushless motor that is so quiet, you're going to wonder if, in fact, it's even on. All while soothing your aching muscles with Theragun's signature power, amplitude, and effectiveness. Listen to me. Try Theragun for 30 days because there is no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power that you need. It starts at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/Rome. Theragun.com/Rome right now. Get your Gen 4 Theragun today. I've got mine. I use it. I love it. That's Theragun.com/Rome. Theragun.com/Rome. He is Will Brinson. What's going on, Will? How are you?
Jim, what's going on, man? I wish I was out there in California. I think the tennis weather would have been a little bit nicer than the 55-degree chill box, windy chill box we had here in North Carolina. But anytime you get on the courts, it's a good day.
So, dude, are you playing on the concrete? Are you playing on clay? Are you playing on grass? What surface?
We got some clay courts. I think it's like 8 clay and 2 soft out at the at the old University Club here in Raleigh. So me and a couple buddies went out there. Spent a Friday morning. Go out, play some Canadian doubles, and try to get a little sweat in.
No, Will, seriously, are you playing on clay?
Yeah, we're playing on clay.
Hell yes. Red clay?
No, I can't. I mean, I'd like playing out of the French stuff, but you'd think that there would be more red clay courts here because there's so much red clay in North Carolina, but you never see them around here. It's usually just like the soft, the dark clay.
I love it. I have never played on clay. That's awesome.
Really?
All right. Yeah, no, that's great. Good for you.
Are y'all all grass? Are y'all all grass and hard courts up here?
Hard courts. I've never played on grass. I've never played on clay. To be fair, I haven't been on the hard court in about 20 years, but no, that's awesome. I've never played on clay. If I don't redirect you, we're going to talk exclusively tennis, and I got to talk football with you. But it is the first week of December, Will, so let me ask you this. We got to get serious because we are into December. The Steelers are undefeated, but are they better than Kansas City?
No. Hard, firm no, and it's no disrespect to Pittsburgh. But, I was on the CBS Sports HQ with our mutual pal, Pete Prisco, yesterday, and we were dissecting Pete's power rankings. He had Pittsburgh number one and Kansas City number two. And Danny Cannell and I asked him, it's like, well, you know, that's fine, Pete, but if they played, who would you pick to win the game? He's like, Kansas City. They said, well, what are we doing here, man? If you think Kansas City's better, they should be number one in the power rankings.
Right.
And look, Pittsburgh's a great team. Ben Roethlisberger's playing at a much higher level, bouncing back from that elbow surgery than I think people expected. They are loaded at the wide receiver position. James Conner, the running game hadn't really gotten going yet, but losing Bud Dupree is a huge loss. But T.J. Watt in that defense, Minkah Fitzpatrick on the back end, they can create some turnovers and some havoc, and they're the best pass rushing team in football, at least until Dupree went down. But I don't think as good as they might be. I mean, I'm setting the line at Kansas City -5 or Kansas City -6 if those two teams play. That's just how well Patrick Mahomes is playing right now. He's the MVP at the moment, and there's no chance I would fade him in any head-to-head matchup in the NFL.
Speaking of Kansas City -5 or -6, would you take Kansas City -14 against Denver the way they are this week?
No, but I wouldn't want to take Denver either. If I'm picking, I'm taking the dog, because dogs over 2 points this year are winning, like, I think it's like 57% of the time or something crazy. I mean, they're hitting an incredible clip. It's because, with the lack of home field advantage and travel and COVID situations, you're better off just having the points this year. And I don't want to get in front of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, 14 points is a ton, but the Broncos aren't going to be rolling out my boy Kendrick Hinton again this week. They got their quarterbacks back, and Drew Locke and that crew feel like a backdoor special where they you know, they're down 10 or, you know, down, or I guess they're down 17, down, you know, down 20, and they go out and get a last second meaningless touchdown. And Andy Reid's not the guy to put his foot on somebody's throat, especially in a division matchup. And you, sometimes you see, Jim, are these spreads with the second, I think it's like second divisional game in 3 or 4 weeks. Teams are like 19-4 over the last 5 or 6 years. So you're better off taking the divisional dog in that spot.
We are talking to Will Brinson. Will, I'm not trying to turn this into a gambling segment, but you talk about a backdoor special. You want to talk about a backdoor special. Ever see anything like Seattle minus 6.5? Now, again, you didn't have to get them at 6.5, but a lot of people did get them at 6.5 recently. Have you ever seen anything like that in your life?
No, I mean, it's been a while. I think the last one was that other Monday night game with the Washington football team in Kansas City where there's a fluke return touchdown on the last second garbage stuff to cover. But that was bad, man. I had when the Jalen Hurts stuff started popping up, I told some of my buddies to bet the under on Carson Wentz passing touchdowns at 1.5. So that one stung pretty bad. The crazy part is, and I think Doug Kazarian of ESPN pointed this out as it was happening correctly, is that when the Eagles were going down the field, down 14, most teams, I think like 90% of football teams are going to kick the extra point to go down 7, try to get the onside kick and make it a 7-point game. Eagles and Doug Peterson notoriously follow the analytics and go for 2 down 14 in the fourth quarter if they score a touchdown, meaning you are going to have your heart ripped out or you're going to be saved depending on that 2-point conversion. And sure enough, Carson Wentz and those guys, I mean, that's as tough a beat as it comes because the Eagles were awful all night on offense. Carson Wentz had 33 yards of passing or something like that through the first half, and they somehow come back and cover. A brutal beat for Seattle back.
I thought, Will, it was one of the most amazing gambling moments I've ever seen in my entire life, depending on what side you were on. Because if you're on the right side of that, it had to feel better than anything's ever felt. And I guarantee if you're on the wrong side of that and you saw them line up for 2, because you know Seattle was not going to do anything to stop the 2. They didn't need to. It didn't matter. What the hell are they doing going for 2? Because of the analytics. Now, you mentioned, Will Brinson, my guest, you mentioned Carson Wentz. Let me jump down to that. Hot Take Nation's all over this. Hot Take Nation's got this sense that, hey, wouldn't it be great if the Colts were to trade for Carson Wentz and reunite him with Frank Reich? You tweeted in response, in part, the Colts will never trade for Carson Wentz because 40-year-old Philip Rivers is better. Lay that out for me.
Yeah, I think I jammed that in between anti-bacon and anti-pepperoni takes. So it was sort of burying the lead a little bit there. But the reality is that Carson Wentz, this is a wholesale problem for the Eagles, what's going on, right? It's not just Carson Wentz. The offensive line has tons of injuries. The passing, the weapons of the passing game. I mean, they took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf, and they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. If you flip that, there'll be one less excuse, I think, this year. Doug Peterson's been terrible at calling plays this year. But the reality is Carson Wentz has lost his confidence. He's lost his ball placement. He's lost his accuracy. He's keeping his eyes down when he's trying to scan the field. He's not patient in the pocket. He's trying to make too much happen. He's just it's like a golfer when everything's gone wrong and you got the Y word is creeping into your swing and you know it and you're thinking it when you're over the ball. That's where Carson Wentz is right now, and he's in his own head. He's deep in his own head. They drafted another quarterback in the second round last year, and it's just the whole thing is just a mess. And meanwhile, Philip Rivers, I'm not saying he's a top 5 quarterback right now, and he's had some stinkers and laid some eggs out there this year and thrown some picks. That's what he does. But he's playing a lot better than Carson Wentz. And I would right now, if you were trying to handicap it, I would say that Rivers, what he's able to do, a mastery of Frank Reich's system, the ability to raise the people around him and how it calls them to perform better, rather than lowering their performance like Wentz, I'm taking Rivers all day this year and next year.
Will Brinson is helping me elevate the conversation. All right, so you mentioned Doug Peterson. Let me ask you this then. When we're talking about future head coaches, the thinking, Will, was that Eric Bieniemy was an absolute lock to be a head coach this offseason. But when you see the problems that Doug Peterson's having, that Matt Nagy's having, is it possible the teams start to wonder if Andy Reid is more responsible for the success in Kansas City than even previously thought, and could that hurt Bieniemy?
Yeah, you are. That is exactly what I think teams are thinking right now, Jim. There is at least you hear buzz and speculation that I mean, you know, when these two guys are struggling to not just succeed, and I mean, Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl, and Matt Nagy, you know, won the division and got to the playoffs and was close last year, and the Bears were, you know, 5-1 to start this season. But I think the biggest concern is that ultimately, you know, when you feel like as an owner or a GM, when you go out and when you buy something as a consumer, you have a certain expectation level. And as a GM and as an owner of an NFL team, when you go out and you hire an NFL head coach, you know, when you hire an Andy Reid protege, your expectation is that guy's going to develop a quarterback. Well, you know, I mean, Carson Wentz had a great season in 2017 until he got hurt. Other than that, he's been mostly mediocre. Nick Foles had a hot streak that won him a Super Bowl. Mitchell Trubisky has been a disaster. They brought in Nick Foles to fix Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, you have to wonder about, I mean, sure, it's, you know, Howie Roseman and Ryan Pace shoulder some of the blame in those particular situations. But, you know, Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy are supposed to craft offensive systems that make quarterbacks flourish, even if those quarterbacks don't have the same skill set as a Patrick Mahomes. And we haven't seen that from a Carson Wentz or a Mitchell Trubisky. And so, yeah, I would be wondering, can Eric Bieniemy come in and develop a quarterback? Because you don't know that. It might just be Andy Reid's secret sauce.
We are talking to Will Brinson. All right, Will, one last thought. You mentioned our mutual friend and colleague, Pete Prisco. I bring this up because Taysom Hill is like a really polarizing topic, you know, in terms of what he can do, how they should use him. The Saints are coming off a win in that weird game against the Broncos. They've got the Falcons, the suddenly red-hot Falcons on Sunday. Pete has called Taysom Hill the right-handed Tebow. How fair is that assessment in your mind?
That's a little bit unfair. If you know where Tim Tebow resides on the spectrum of quarterbacks and just, you know, general human respect for Pete Prisco, then that's an unfair and cruel thing to say to Taysom Hill. I think Taysom Hill is better than that. I mean, you know, he's a better passer. He's probably a better runner, to be honest, just because he's not, you know, he's not a lumbering fullback type like Tebow was. And I mean, I think Pete is bothered by the concept of these, you know, rush first quarterbacks who can't develop and learn in the pocket. And so he takes it as he's disgusted by the idea of Sean Payton wasting his playbook on a Taysom Hill, especially when he's got a Jameis Winston type who can come in and throw 40 picks sitting there on the bench. So I think it's probably a somewhat unfair observation, but I do find the Sean Payton obsession with Taysom Hill to be the weirdest thing. It's like, you know, the guy's almost, I think he's like almost like 45 at this point, because he took the Mormon missionary trip. He's been bouncing around forever, and he finally, you know, develops under Sean Payton. I don't love the idea of Taysom Hill. I think the Falcons are going to win this week outright. Raheem Morris, by the way, a coaching candidate people need to look at. And I think maybe this could be sort of the Taysom Hill experiment is not exactly what the Saints need to win a Super Bowl. Might want to get healthy Drew Brees. I think we could see that sort of developing over the weekend.
I like Taysom. I really do. I like him more. Yeah. You like him more than Pete Prisco likes him. I like him more than you like him. But at the same time, I think you make some really good points. Listen, Will, before I send you back to the court, one last thought. You referenced it, so I want you to finish this thought. You talked about burying the lead when I said that Hot Take Nation was all about Carson Wentz going to Indy. Buried within a take, quote, steak is overrated, ketchup is awful, bacon has been overexposed, pepperoni sucks. What kind of responses are you getting to those takes, and which one have you had to defend the most vehemently?
Well, the bacon one, because the next morning I woke up and my wife said, "Do you want a breakfast sandwich?" I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." She was like, "What do you want?" I was like, "Bacon, egg, and cheese." And she was like, "No, sorry, bacon's overexposed, pal. You can have some eggs on English muffin." Right. And she's a big fan of meat, so she loves like a good steak. I think that might be part of the problem too, is that she loves pepperoni on pizza. I'm tired of it. Like, it's overrated. I prefer a great like cut of tuna or some like high-end salmon, some like a really good cut of fish, as opposed to a steak. Now, an excellent elite steak, that's fine. But, I mean, steak is just being tossed out there left and right, and people are acting like this chewy, you know, strip that's been cooked to big cooked medium is something we should enjoy. I mean, if you give me some high-end beef, I'm all about it. But I'm not. I just think the red meat cabal has taken over America to an extended degree, and I'm looking for something a little a little fresher, a little more enjoyable, like a great kind of fish is what I'm looking for. Some oysters, some shrimp, some scallops. Give me something fresh and less cliche than a steak, Jim.
Okay, that's fair. And a nice can of White Claw with your nice fish, right?
That's right. Yeah. Nothing goes better with a great cut of tuna, ahi tuna, than a black cherry White Claw.
So if you missed yesterday's show, then you missed one of the more memorable moments of the entire year. If you missed yesterday's show, you've got something in common with Alvin DeLauro, my longtime, extremely trusted, ultra-talented engineer. Understand this about Alvin. Anybody can board op, but nobody can do it like Alvin. He knows this. This is why he has jammed me hard and started staying at home on Thursdays. And he's doing it for the same reason that anybody does anything. Because he can. Because he's got leverage. Because he knows that we know that 4 days of him is better than no days of him. In other words, little man has the big hammer, and he's not afraid to swing it. Just kidding, brah. I know that's not what this is, and that you've actually got some homeschooling that you have to do every single Thursday. All good. Weird year, weird circumstances. We have to do what we have to do. I understand. The problem is, what we have to do, and what we have is RIT. Garrett freaking RIT. Old man content in the back row. The unicorn of all unicorns. A paunchy, bald old man. Who looks 10 years younger, or who is 10 years younger than me, but looks 20 years older. Yet when he looks in the mirror, he sees Brad Pitt staring right back at him. That guy. So, when Alvin needed to start taking Thursdays off to be a professor at home, we needed somebody to run the board. Obviously, filling in for Alvin is no small task. In fact, it's impossible. Essentially, you're coming into the game for the Michael Jordan of engineers. It takes a certain level of confidence and courage, if not downright false bravado, to even try it, much less execute it. So who do you think had their hand way above their bald head when I went around the room looking for that Thursday fill-in? Right. Obviously, the same guy who called Paul Pierce fat. The same guy who killed Tom Hanks on the radio. That same guy was beyond eager to get his paws on any part of the on-air product that he could. And he moved right on in. And if you've listened to the show on Thursdays for the past 4 months, here is some of what you've heard. Missed drops. Delayed drops, wrong drops, and a whole hell of a lot of Garrett RIT drops. My man loves him some him. Now, I always like and respect guys who like being them. In fact, I get a kick out of that crap. I really do. But no one likes and respects and loves being them more than this dude. You know how I always say, one of my favorite lines was from a guy who played golf with a guy that I know, and he said, quote, "I have never seen a guy that ugly without much confidence." Like, it makes me laugh every time I think of that line. Such a great line. Except that's RIT times infinity. The guy can't find Carl Lewis or Mike Gundy on the sound panel to save his life, but he's got zero issue finding anything and everything that has his own voice in it.
Finally.
It's like self-gloss times infinity. I'm shocked that this guy doesn't walk in on Thursdays and tell me, "Yo, boss, engineering's whack. It's boring. I'm not some GD button pusher. I mastered that in the first 10 seconds I sat down. Take the rest of the day off. I'm going to give the clones what they really want now. Me. I'll both engineer and host this bitch at the same time. Take the day off, Rome. Bring it." So as you might imagine, knowing the guy, this guy has incredible delusion. RIT has done more and more shows in Alvin's chair, as he has, he's gotten more and more comfortable and more delusional. For example, yesterday, he played the boing drop every single time I mentioned that my podcast guest next week once shot stem cells into his junk as part of an erectile dysfunction treatment article for Men's Health magazine. Yet there is Rich, just having a field day. Boing, boing, boing. I mean, I didn't tell Rich to bring the conversation down to a second grade level. He just decided to do it on his own over and over and over and over and over again. But since board hopping is an invisible job to the listener, anybody tuning in yesterday could have thought that that was me hammering that idiotic sounder. So now you know exactly what I'm dealing with, right? Actually, you don't. You never could know exactly what I'm dealing with, but you have an idea. A guy who has a fraction of the ability and intelligence to back up his unworldly confidence and swagger, and who's got way too much sound and freedom and autonomy at his disposal on Thursdays. You see, that's the rub. That's the kicker. A really good board operator knows when to play something and when to lay out, because timing and reading the room are paramount. So I know I've set this up in a big way, but it now brings me to what happened yesterday. Now you have the background you need. It brings me to a phone call from Diane in Niagara Falls. Diane calls in yesterday because yesterday was the fifth anniversary of the passing of our beloved thoroughbred Shared Belief. She wanted to mention it. She wanted to pay tribute. I appreciated it very much. Obviously, the subject matter is very serious, and it's sensitive, and it's sad, and it demands a certain level of gravity and respect. And listen, for the record, not only why not apologize for it, I'm going to get up and I'm going to scream it from the rooftops. I love that animal so bleeping much, more than virtually any human being that I have ever met that I'm not related to. Remember I told that story to my then 10-year-old son, Logan, that when I heard that Shared Belief died, I got the news here at work during a show, that during the commercial break, I went into my office and I got dusty for a few minutes. Like, I literally did the one thing that I demanded that you cannot do. I cried at work. Logan says, "Dad, I've never seen you cry." I said, "Son, I don't think that I have cried in the 10 years that you've been on this planet. But that's how much I love the big horse, right?" So anyway, Diane calls in to acknowledge the fifth year passing of Shared Belief. Hawk puts the call up on a shared Google Doc. We all have it in front of us. We all decide together, we're going to take this phone call at the end of the segment so we can do the less serious stuff before it. It's called producing. Hell, it's actually producing 101. You learn it the very first day of producer school. We're all on the same page. We have our fun with a couple of callers before Diane, then we go to her. Apparently, Rit was not done having fun. Apparently, Rit's idea of fun is different than the rest of our ideas of fun. Rit thought that playing a drop that had no business being played was a good idea, and that that would be fun. And not just a good idea, but that he would step all over Diane and literally disrupt her very first words of her very serious phone call. In case you missed it, here's how this sounded. Listen for Rit's horrible timing, his absolute tone deafness, and my utter disdain for what he just did. Niagara Falls, Diane. It's good to have you, Diane. How are you?
War Lady Clones.
Damn, Rit.
How are you? Not going to take too much to elevate these calls, but anyway.
The drop that he played is the classic War Lady Clones
War Lady
drop.
Clones.
We generally play it after an email or a tweet or a phone call from a lady clone. Not before, and sure as hell not stepping all over whatever the lady clone content is, especially this content. A very nice woman paying tribute to my deceased horse that I love more than anything besides my family. Can I hear that one more time? Niagara Falls, Diane. It's good to have you, Diane. How are you?
War Lady Clones.
Damn, Rit.
How are you? Not going to take too much to elevate these calls, but anyway.
What, Rit? You couldn't find the giddy up horse face?
Giddy up horse face.
Drop?
Come on.
Alvin hid the Sarah Jessica Parker sounds from you?
It doesn't make any sense. It's happening, you guys. It's happening.
Parker. I mean, Ritt, are you kidding? The only thing more egregious than Ritt stepping all over Diane, talking about my dead, beloved racehorse, is that Ritt saw absolutely no problem with it. In fact, he actually was kind of offended that we all had a problem with it. We were wrong. He was right. When Hawk cussed him out for it, Ritt responded, and I bleeping quote, Lady Clone Caller, Lady Clone Button.
Lady Clone Caller, Lady Clone Button.
This is exactly what he said, word for word.
Lady
Again.
Clone Caller, Lady Clone Button.
Word for word. Again, we all were wrong, and he was right. Freaking Ritt, man. You could not write this character in a million years if you tried. And responses poured in, ranging from, Ritt is the type of guy who asks a woman her weight and overguesses her age, to Ritt shows up to funerals and shouts, game on!
Game on.
Ritt shows up to funerals and shouts, finally!
Finally.
So it's not just that Hawk and me, Hawk and I, found the entire thing completely devoid of any kind of sensitivity. Guy's totally out of touch. Total inability to read a room or a situation, but most of you did as well. And a number of you asked the most important question of the day. Exactly how did Alvin DeLauro react hearing that at home? He heard it, all right. He heard it. Hey, clones, I've got a question for you. A really important question. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? Hey, listen. I mean, there's something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. And it is that. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. That's why it's in that Clearview package, so you can see exactly what you're getting. Every bite of Old Trapper is amazing because they use only the best ingredients, from their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to the real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in four great flavors: Old Fashioned, Teriyaki, Peppered, and Hot and Spicy. All chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide real sustained energy. Make sure you have a good supply on hand for you and your family when you hit the grocery store. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Time for another edition of the wildly popular Big Head Bets, starring he of the gigantic dome, James Kelly. We do it every Friday. I say the same thing every Friday. If you want to get down, if you want to get paid, we do this for entertainment purposes only. Do not wager what you cannot afford to lose. You know, I do say that every single Friday. Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. We're doing this for one reason. And one reason only. And it's not for entertainment purposes. It's to get your ass paid. Understand this. We're not guaranteeing you're going to get paid. Go into this with your eyes wide ass open. Like crazy eyes. Adam Gase, wide ass open. No one is making you do anything. We're just providing you some intel and some educated opinions and a few of the games. Why am I changing up now? Why am I saying that it's no longer for entertainment purposes only? Because had we been playing with real money and not an imaginary role, we would have been getting paid. The gigantic head is hitting on better than 60% of his picks against the spread in the NFL. Not many of the pros who are charging money for their picks can say that. So yes, it's going to put more pressure on the head. But you know what they say? No pressure, no diamonds. No pressure, no diamonds. Let's get at it. Pressure is a privilege. Big head, are you ready to do this?
Hell freaking yes, Jim. I'm ready.
My man, let's do it. All right, so Browns v. Titans. I love it. America's team against a really good jungle team. Both 8-3, both looking to run the hell out of the ball. Let me ask you this, James. If you had your choice, who would you rather have? Derrick Henry or the two-headed monster that is Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? And how are you playing this one? Titans minus 5.5.
So on my roster, I'd rather have the two-headed monster of Chubb and Hunt. But on Sunday, Jim, I'm going to take Henry and -5.5 on the Titans. The Browns have been horrible road covers the past two seasons against the spread. They're 1-4 this season. And this, in their last 11 games away from Cleveland, they're 1-10. And Derrick Henry is absolutely balling. He's averaging 155 yards a game. They will run their play action. They will not turn the ball over. They have 5 turnovers all season long, the fewest in the NFL. The Browns secondary, it's banged up, Jim, and they probably won't have Denzel Ward. Yes, the Browns are 8-3, but they're averaging less than 16 points a game the last 4 games. Baker Mayfield's got to be good. He hasn't been lately. He's been average, but I'm going with King Henry and the Titans -5.5.
All right, so that's really interesting. So Titans -5.5, and again, we're not doing this for entertainment purposes only. We are doing this to get you paid. Raiders v. Jets right now. I mean, shoot, remember, like, Big Head, we all want to admit we were wrong about the Raiders. We were wrong about Chunk Gruden. We were wrong about Derek Carr. We were wrong about these guys. Then they go out, well, other than that part about them butchering COVID-19 protocols, we were right about that. Then they go out and they lose 2 in a row right when you want to give them credit. Thanks for nothing. However, they have the ultimate get-right game Sunday against some of the biggest losers ever, the Jets, who are flirting with running it backwards. Right now, we know the Raiders are going to win this game, right? But do they cover at -8?
Yes, they do, Jim. I like the Raiders. I think they do cover at -8. And I think Derek Carr, he was ass last week, no doubt about it. But I think he'll be much better this week. He fumbled 3 freaking times last week, all right? But he has an advantage here, and that's against that Jets secondary. They're even worse than he was last week. They're allowing a highest percentage of passes to be completed in the NFL at over 71%, Jim. And on the other side of the ball, you covered it earlier, they're terrible. They're averaging 13.8 points per game on offense, and that's the worst since a 2012 Romeo Crennel-led Kansas City Chiefs offense. And it's honestly, it's Sam Darnold, like you said earlier. He hasn't thrown a touchdown, Jim, since September. Joe Flacco has actually padded those stats, so they're not as bad as they really are. I like the Raiders. I do think they have more character than normal. Raiders -8.5.
Did you just say that Derek Carr was ass?
Yes, he was. 4 turnovers, 3
saying,
fumbles.
Saying
complete.
Something sucks is not a take, nor is calling somebody ass, Big Head.
Yeah.
All right, then. Then you have, this is Big Head Bets. We do it every single Friday. Then you've got this critical NFC West matchup between the Rams and Cards. You know I love the Cards. They're one of my favorite jungle teams ever, but they've been backing up of late. Until I see him on the field, Big Head, I've got to wonder about Kyler Murray and how much his shoulder is bothering him. Meantime, you've got the Rams and their Super Bowl caliber defense, but anything but a Super Bowl caliber quarterback in Jared Goff right now. You can have the Cards and 3 if you want them. The question is, do you?
I don't, Jim. I want the Rams, and I want to give 3. So I'm going to take the Rams. Look, both are coming off disappointing games, and I think you're right about that shoulder. I think it's bugging Kyler. That was his worst game of the season against Hood last week. And now he gets possibly the hardest team to play against and to throw against in the Rams this week. Look, put Jalen Ramsey out there and DeAndre and let Aaron Donald do his thing. And I think the Rams have the clear advantage in the running game. And also, the Cards, they're sloppy now. I mean, they are the most penalized team in the NFL, and the Rams are the second least penalized team. If Goff doesn't wet the bed like he has the last 4 games out, I like the Rams -3.
Getting comfortable, man. Calling quarterbacks ass, saying they wet the bed. Is there anything else that you like on the way out the door that you see that we should think about this weekend?
Jim, I found something. I'm on cricket competition, the Ford Trophy in New Zealand. Tomorrow, I'm hitting the Canterbury Kings again at -140 over the Northern Knights. I'm all over this stuff. I'm a big, big cricket guy right now, and the Kings of Canterbury have won 5 of their past 6. I heard that, Alvin. 5 of their past 6, Jim, including a 266-234 win over those Northern Knights last month.
All right, so respectfully, I want to say this to you. A New Zealand Cricket League hit. I like it because I've had that on my brain as well. Just not Canterbury. Come on, man. Listen, I usually get respect where you're coming from, Head, but are you kidding me about Canterbury?
Son, your ego, man, is writing checks your body can't
get
cash.
Get the hell out of here with that crap. Canterbury has not won the Ford Trophy since 2017. You know that, don't you?
I do know that, but that's a lot of disrespect for my man Kim McClure and Leo Carter, Jim.
Let me tell you something, dude. You ask me, until somebody takes them down, Auckland, the defending champs, are the ones to beat. And don't you be confused by their slow start this season either. They've got way too much talent not to get right. And you, Head, have way too much knowledge to be coming up in here and running your mouth about things you don't know. Cricket. You feel me?
I feel you. Kings minus 140.
Auckland minus 140 over the Volts all damn day. You're welcome, man. Stick to what you know, Head, and dominate. Everything but cricket. Have a great weekend, James. Good job.
Thanks, Jim.
I agree to disagree. Did you come in here and talk that nonsense about cricket with me? James Kelly. How you living after that long weekend? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Are you happy it's Monday? I know I am. Good to be here. What's cracking? Hope you had a great, great weekend. That was one weird-ass weekend of football.
Unbelievable.
Yeah! Trubisky got hit by Za'Darius Smith. The ball came
Huddle
out.
Mechanics. What, Derek Dooley's shower discipline? Didn't want any of that? Then maybe you can work on his not going three and out mechanics. Or his pick six mechanics. Andy Staples.
Can I still fax the show like we did in college?
Did you ever fax this show back in the day?
I never faxed the show, though. I worked with a guy at the college paper who had many, many molten tapes.
You heard that correctly. Guys who played their last game for Fat Pat brought in orange juice, champagne, and some flutes. And they went all Instagram brunch chick with it.
Maddie, light!
I'm sure Scott Frost didn't show up in front. Hey, are these things on? Are those cameras on? Is that on? Yeah. Everybody, you call me Scofro from now on. I guarantee Scott Frost didn't do that. Some honk dropped that on him.
The karma's strong this year.
I just want to say one thing.
Why would I wear a shirt that I worked out in to a boardroom meeting? That's what he's selling. You can wear that same shirt to accomplish all these same things. And for what? To save 5 seconds?
God bless.
Eric Musselman.
Jim, thanks so much for having me on back in the jungle. Everybody's doing good. Family's awesome. I hope yours is doing great as well.
Oh, yes.
The Eagles have attempted the most 2-point conversions.
Legendary nad shot for Hawks, minus 6.5 guy, in an instant first ballot Hall of Fame bad beat.
Did the coach have a lot of money on his own team? Did the quarterback have a lot of money on his own team? I don't get it.
Errol Spence Jr. is joining us.
I'm like, man, I gotta go see the doctor to see if my brain's okay because my body went head up with concrete. Most people lose that battle.
Listen to me. Read my lips. You have my word. I will never.
And I mean ever.
Play that song ever again on this show.
Rigby, Adam Hawk, Rigby.
Ethan Hunt could not have repaired that song. Who's hoping that song self-destructs in 5 seconds, whether we accept the mission or not?
This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
The worst.
The worst?
The worst.
Email.
What you call art, I call something else.
Ass.
No way, bro. I thought for sure you were in some fancy New York City studio at $40,000 an hour. Those were not Sennheisers that you were using? Talking to Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly.
Listen, all the Fortune 500 companies would tell you the same thing. They're going to hire somebody that fits their culture, and then they'll develop them on the way. That's the same thing here at Notre Dame.
Bob Myers, my guest.
I'm not giving you the company line here. My owner wants to win. This is the kind of owner you want. People that are fans out there of any team, you better hope you have good ownership.
Twitter. I don't want your USDA Prime. I ordered the Wagyu. You know who the hell I am? I'm Beauregard.
Radio commercials that are 4 times louder than the show I'm listening to. I got you yelling at me about Granger.
Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Who gives a rat's furry ass about a Christmas tree lighting?
Rashawn Evans.
No doubt it's mental warfare. And, you know, whenever you get your opponents already, you know, upset before the game even starts, you've already, you know, started out on the good ride.
Some red zone failures, but you attribute that to
us sucking.
He's still undefeated and still furious. Man, that was my man's straightest and hottest fire ever.
Us sucking.
Going to roll telephone calls.
Enough with the basketball. That sissy game.
KCP would be flying rubber dog. Doo 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 doo. To Hong Kong if it weren't for his agent LeBron. Rich Paul.
Tom Brady, the luckiest and least talented quarterback. The dude's a scrub. He's overrated. He's not as talented as half the league.
And I was just wondering what stem cells do to your judge.
Niagara Falls, Diane. It's good to have you, Diane. How are you?
War Lady Clone.
Damn, Rick. Well, War Lady Clones. She's choked up already, and I'm choking up thinking about it. And old man Ike just can't wait to hammer War Lady Clones.
Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button.
When you were talking about Irvine, like being on fire, I wouldn't play the burning drop. Burning. That's just common sense.
He is Will Brinson.
That's right. Yeah. Nothing goes better with a great cut of ahi tuna than a black cherry white claw.
Jim's going to rip me a new one.
I'm all over this stuff. I'm a big, big cricket guy right now.
10,000 touchdowns, zero commercials.
And I'm still Jimmy. There are two people who do it. Her, my mom.
Your mom.
Stay-at-home uncle.
Biscuits and gravy. Appreciate you always having me on.
Thanks for having me in the jungle. It's the best.
Pizza heresy.
Marveling at your unit.
Touchdown, Buffalo!
It's a dynasty clone!
Suck it.
More north, the better.
Hennessy. What you mean,
Good night now! Good night now!